Now it's time for the sports news for this Tuesday, June 6th, 2023. Your reader today is Carrie Lawless. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. The first article comes from the Lexington Herald Leader. Incoming UK men's soccer goalkeeper has pro experience, by Cameron Drummond. Few boys soccer players in the Commonwealth can claim to be as accomplished as Alex Cron is as a graduating high school senior. A state champion goalkeeper at Louisville's St. X High School and a soon-to-be freshman at UK, Cron has long established himself as one of the top in-state soccer talents. But in the midst of high school graduation parties and the preparation that comes with getting ready to go to college, Cron brings something else to the table that is rare for any player at his age level, professional soccer experience. Cron is currently in his second stint with the Louisville City FC senior men's team on a USL Academy contract, which allows Cron to train with and play for Lou City's professional team in the USL Championship, the second tier of men's professional soccer in the United States. The contract allows Cron to maintain his amateur status while playing for Lou City, which will allow him to compete for the Kentucky Wildcats starting this fall. Cron also signed a USL Academy contract with Lou City in fall 2021. When it first happened, joining the senior men's team in the fall of 2021, it felt surreal because I was like, I'm a 16-year-old kid coming into the first team with guys that are twice my age, Cron told the Herald Leader via a Zoom interview last week. It was good to have the reassurance of everyone just telling me that I was good enough to be in that position, and they kind of gave me the confidence to keep going with it. In the time since Cron got his first taste of professional soccer in 2021, he's elevated his play to become the top goalkeeper within the Louisville City Academy's current under-19 age group. This came along with significant accolades for Cron. In December, he was one of four goalkeepers nationally and the only boys player from Kentucky to be recognized as a United Soccer Coaches High School All-American. During this time playing for St. X, Cron and the Tigers won a state championship in 2020 and reached the state title game last year. Louisville City goalkeepers coach Scott Budnick recalled first becoming familiar with Cron during individual and small group practice sessions that occurred while the COVID-19 pandemic still affected the club's normal training routine. I remember thinking at the moment, there's something in there that with some hard work we could probably hone in on, Budnick said. He's got good size, he's got good athleticism, he checks a lot of the boxes, decent feet, quick feet, and you can tell that he's received training in his development, and he's done a good job with his opportunities with us thus far. I think some things for me that I'm really good at are reading the game. I think my knowledge of what's happening and being able to see stuff before it happens is really, really good, the 6'3" Cron said. I'm kind of a bigger guy, so commanding my box, coming from crosses, playing high off my line, being able to come off and sweep, I think those are some things that really nowadays you need to be able to do, and I think I kind of thrive in those areas. As far as professional pathway models go in second-tier American soccer, Louisville City is establishing a reputation as one of the top clubs where pro playing time is a possibility for youth players who rise up through the academy ranks. Both Elijah Winder and his younger brother Josh, who is likely to leave Louisville for a major European club later this year, have completed Lou City's path to pro route, rising to the senior men's team after time spent with the academy. Cron more than proved his worth during this time in Lou City's academy system to earn a second go-around with the professional team. In April, Cron was part of a Louisville City academy team that won a division at the Dallas Cup, one of the most prestigious youth soccer tournaments in the world. The piece that I like best is that we've been able to get him to a point where he understands that if he's making a mistake in the game, he can self-diagnose, Budnick said. And while the Winder brothers may represent the top percentile outcome for players who start in the Louisville City Academy, Cron is the latest example of young players being given an opportunity to play for the senior men's team. Cron is the fourth Academy player from Louisville City this season to be registered on an amateur contract, joining former Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School student standout forward Isaac Canoe, former Bullet East High School forward Colin Elder, who is committed to play college soccer at Bellarmine, and defender Travis Smith, who played for DuPont Manual High School in Louisville and is committed to play college soccer at Wake Forest. I think I always knew I was going to go to college. Talking to my parents, that's something that I think I've always wanted to do, just to experience it, Cron, who committed to UK in January and will move to Lexington in early August, said. I think when UK reached out to me for the first time, obviously I've been a fan my whole life. Once they gave me the offer, it was kind of like, this is it. This is what I've always wanted. While Cron's on-field accomplishments as a soccer player are noteworthy on their own, the fact that he is able to make a name for himself on the pitch is notable. When he was a young child, Cron was diagnosed with leukemia, which was successfully treated with chemotherapy. Just knowing a little bit about him and his family, I know that he's already handled adversity at a young age, Budnick said. So getting scored on probably pales in comparison to some of the trials and tribulations he's experienced. It's definitely something that I look back on when I was younger. It was a challenge that me and my family had, but honestly, now I don't really think about it, Cron said. If I'm out there playing, no one's like, oh, we've got to take it easy on this kid. He had all this stuff happen. Cron admittedly doesn't like to dwell on his cancer diagnosis and recovery, but he also acknowledges that going through the experience of surviving cancer has provided him with a valuable perspective that can sometimes be used when playing soccer. I don't really like to make excuses about it because it doesn't really affect me now, Cron said. I just tried to get on with it and just play the best I can, but I think it does give me some sort of composure, I guess you could say. Next from the Herald Leader, holding all the cards, Knights pound Panthers, go up 2-0 in Stanley Cup Final. The Vegas Golden Knights head to Sunrise, Florida for games 3 and 4 of the Stanley Cup Final with a 2-0 edge in the best of seven series after a dominating 7-2 victory on Monday night. Perhaps more important, leading scorer Jack Eichel also will be making the trip. With Vegas holding a 4-0 lead late in the second period, Eichel took a crunching shoulder-to-shoulder hit from Matthew Tkachuk near the blue line while skating with the puck out of his own end. The force of the hit flattened Eichel on his back and sent his helmet flying. Eichel, hunched over and favoring his right shoulder, immediately skated to the locker room as Vegas fans held their collective breaths. After all, Eichel underwent neck disc replacement surgery back in November 2021. However, Eichel was back on the bench for the start of the third period and garnered his second assist on the game with a pass to Jonathan Marchessault on his next shift to increase Vegas' lead to 5-1. Yeah, I'm fine, Eichel said with a smile afterward. I kind of toe-picked a little bit. I didn't really see him until the last minute. It's a clean hit. It's a hard collision. It's a collision game, and you get back up and you keep playing. Tkachuk said, doesn't matter who you are, don't go through the middle of the ice with your head down or you're going to get hit. Vegas captain Mark Stone and Eichel's return fired up the Golden Knights, who scored 3 goals in the third period for the second straight game. It was a big hit, Stone said. I think they were trying to change momentum. Just to see him come back and skate out of the tunnel for the third period, that's a statement, right? You can take shots at him. You can take shots at any one of us. But we're going to keep coming at you. Marchessault logged 2 goals and an assist, and Brett Howden also scored twice for the Golden Knights. Vegas has scored 12 goals in the first 2 games, tying the Stanley Cup final record for most goals in the first 2 games, a mark last accomplished by the New York Islanders in 1982 against the Vancouver Canucks. It's been a ton of fun, Eichel, who has a team-best 22 postseason points, said of his first playoff experience in 8 NHL seasons. Enjoying it with these guys in the locker room. I'm obviously new to it. It's been a lot of fun. Eichel leads all NHL players with 16 assists in the 2023 postseason. Marchessault notched his third multi-goal game of the playoffs, giving him a team-high 12 postseason goals, all in the past 12 games. Michael Amadio had a goal and an assist. Eichel and Chandler Stephenson each had 2 assists and Alec Martinez and Nicholas Roy also scored for Vegas. Aiden Hill finished with 29 saves. Anton Lundell and Tkachuk scored for Florida. Sergei Bobrovsky was pulled at the 7-minute, 10-second mark of the second period after stopping just 9 of 13 shots. Alex Leon took over and made 12 saves. He would be a little better in front of our goaltender, Florida coach Paul Maurice said. He has been unbelievable for us. I got him out to keep him rested. Vegas took a 1-0 lead at 7:05 of the first period on a power play by Marchessault. Martinez made it 2-0 at 17:59 of the opening period when he roofed a wrist shot from the left faceoff dot for his first goal of the playoffs. Roy extended the lead in the early second period after picking up the puck in the left corner. Left uncovered, he skated in and rifled a wrist shot off the near post and in for his second goal of the playoffs. Howden increased the lead to a 4-0 at the 7:10 mark of the middle period. He broke down the slot and took a pass from Stone and then backhanded a shot past Bobrovsky, who was then replaced by Lyon. Florida cut the deficit to 4-1 just 14 seconds into the third period when Lundell's shot caromed off the shin guard of Martinez. But Marchessault, left wide open in the slot, scored his second goal of the night less than 2 minutes later, off an assist from the left boards from Eichel. Amadio increased the lead to 6-1 midway through the final period off a nice setup from William Karlsson. Tkachuk scored his 10th goal of the playoffs a little over 2 minutes later to make it 6-2 when he snapped in a wrist shot from the left circle. Howden finished the scoring, netting his second goal of the night with 2 minutes 8 seconds left. Game 3 is scheduled for Thursday. Next from the Herald Leader, Kentucky tops Indiana, advances to program's second Super Regional by John Hale. Kentucky baseball advanced to the second Super Regional in program history with a 4-2 win over Indiana in a winner-take-all regional finals Monday at Kentucky Proud Park, playing in front of a program record 6,796 fans. Kentucky completed its improbable rally from the loser's bracket, winning its third elimination game in 2 days. The Wildcats followed the same path as the 2017 Kentucky team did 6 years ago to reach the program's first Super Regional in Nick Mingione's first season as head coach. The Wildcats and Hoosiers looked on the verge of turning Monday's game into a slugfest after combining for 4 runs in the first 2 innings. But both starting pitchers, throwing on short rest, settled down from there. Kentucky's breakthrough came in the 6th inning against Indiana starter Ty Bothwell, who threw 97 pitches 3 days after throwing 48 pitches in Indiana's regional opening win over West Virginia. Here is what you need to know about the game. Turning point. With the score tied at 2 in the bottom of the 6th inning, star catcher Devin Burks led off the frame with a double, then moved to second on a ground out from second baseman Emilian Petre. First baseman Hunter Gilliam gave Kentucky its second lead of the game with a double down the third baseline, then scored on a double from left fielder Ryan Waldschmidt. On the mound, seventh-year senior Darren Williams, normally a multi-inning relief specialist for the Wildcats, made the start 2 days after throwing 1 inning in Kentucky's Saturday loss to Indiana. Kentucky's coaching staff had used Williams only once per week this season as he worked his way back from Tommy John surgery, but the 25-year-old right-handed pitcher was able to pitch for a second time in the regional after throwing 27 pitches Saturday. Williams was not at peak form, giving up single runs in the first 2 innings and pitching out of multiple jams, but was able to gut his way through 4 innings. Sophomore Mason Moore, who pitched 5 perfect innings in the Wildcats' Friday win over Ball State, relieved Williams, adding 5 more scoreless frames to his regional tally to close out the game. At least one Indiana batter reached base in each of the first 7 innings, but Williams and Moore were able to work around trouble, stranding 8 Hoosiers on base. Moore appeared to grow stronger as the game progressed, recording 2 of his 5 strikeouts in the last 2 innings. At the plate, Kentucky tallied just 6 hits in the game, but Burke continued his scorching hot regional with 2 more hits and a walk. Gilliam drove in 2 runs. One day after hitting 4 home runs in a 16-6 blowout of Indiana, Kentucky returned to its small ball roots in the first inning with a single, 2 walks, and 2 sacrifice flies to take an early 2-1 lead. The Wildcats struck out 10 times in the game and reached base only once via hit by pitch after being hit 9 times in Sunday's game. What's next? Kentucky will face number 5 overall seed LSU in a best-of-3 super regional in Baton Rouge this weekend. Game times will be announced later this week. The Wildcats will bring some confidence to the series after playing LSU close in an April series in Baton Rouge. UK was blown out 16-6 in the first game of that series, but rallied to win 13-10 in Game 2 and was tied at 6 in the 8th inning of the rubber match before falling 7-6. The Tigers feature 2 likely top 5 picks in the 2023 MLB draft in outfielder Dylan Cruz and right-handed starter Paul Skenes. The next article comes from the Louisville Courier-Journal. 3 questions for Payne and Louisville Hoops. Cards try to recover from last season as workouts start, by Brooks Holton. How will the Louisville men's basketball team respond to the challenge of bouncing back from the worst season in modern program history? After head coach Kenny Payne and his staff overhauled their roster, with 7 scholarship players entering the NCAA transfer portal and 9 newcomers arriving on campus this month to begin summer workouts, we're about to find out. The holdovers from last year's 4-28 squad are guard forward Mike James, forwards Brandon Huntley Hatfield, Jr., Emmanuel Okorafor, sophomore, and J.J. Trainer, senior, and walk-ons Aiden McCool, Hersey Miller, and Zan Payne. Joining them is an incoming collection of talent that ranks among the top 10 on 247 Sports' national leaderboard. From the high school ranks, there's 7'1" center Dennis Evans, 2024 reclass Trenton Flowers, former male standout Caleb Glenn, consensus top 20 point guard Ty Lauer Johnson, and Curtis Williams Jr., the number 1 prospect in Michigan. Payne also signed 3 second-year players through the portal, guard Sky Clark, Illinois, forward Danilo Jovanovic, Miami, and guard forward Trey White, Southern California, along with the third-year guard Coron Davis, who is transferring in after stops at 2 junior colleges. Now it's time for Payne and his staff to see how the pieces fit together. They need to do so quickly because U of L will be tested early with a trip to Madison Square Garden in November for the Empire Classic, whose field also includes reigning national champion Connecticut, Indiana, and Texas. Here are 3 questions facing the Cardinals as they begin building toward the 2023-24 campaign. Who emerges as the go-to center? Louisville suffered from a glaring deficiency of production at the 5 spot last season. Sidney Curry was a shell of the player who asserted himself during the home stretch of the 2021-22 campaign. Huntley Hatfield showed flashes of potential but was sidelined for more than a month of ACC play with a right foot injury. Payne said Okorafor rejuvenated the team upon arriving from NBA Academy Africa in January, but an injury to his right ankle limited his playing time to 5 appearances off the bench. After transferring in from Tennessee, Huntley Hatfield initially started at power forward next to Curry, but was given the nod at center in 4 of the team's final 5 games, finishing his sophomore year averaging 6.7 points on 47.2% shooting, with a team-high 5.4 rebounds per contest. Payne said during his final radio show of the season, the 6'10 native of Clarksville, Tennessee, fits more naturally at the 5 and wants him to set the tone physically in the paint. What he should be doing is loving contact, playing with, and looking for contact, Payne said in March. There are times that he shies away from it because he's uncomfortable with it. I need him to embrace it. With a 7'7 wingspan and a 9'8 standing reach, Evans should command playing time because of the rim protection he offers. What Payne and his staff are about to learn is just how far along the 17-year-old is offensively after AAU coach Elvert Kool-Aid Perry said he and Evans train from 5:30 to 8:30 a.m. for 6 days a week to improve his ball handling and his ability to score from places other than directly underneath the basket. If Evans hits the ground running, and if Okorafor continues to make strides, Payne and his staff could consider playing them ahead of Huntley Hatfield, or perhaps he and Okorafor can line up at the four alongside Evans. That brings us to our next question, how interchangeable is the roster? Payne, at the end of last season, lamented his team's inability to switch defensively, a staple of the NBA that the coach learned while playing for Denny Crum at Louisville from 1985 to 89. During this final radio show, Payne said he wants five guys who are all interchangeable on the floor. With the way the Cardinals' 2023-24 roster is constructed, he could make his vision a reality in year two. Davis, 6'7", Flowers, 6'8", and White, 6'7", are listed as guards, but, like James, have spent time playing forward at their previous stops. At 6'6", Glenn and Williams are more traditional wings who will need to rotate defensively on the perimeter. Trainer, 6'8", worked primarily at the 3 and the 4 last season, and the same could be asked of Jovanovic, 6'8", who appeared in one game for Miami before opting to redshirt. The challenge for Payne and his staff will be creating lineups that produce the most potent threats offensively and defensively based on opponents' strengths and weaknesses and in-game scenarios. Maybe they side Clark to the 2, bumping James, White, or Flowers to small forward, so Johnson gets some run at point. Maybe they go smaller to press or double down on their size to take advantage of mismatches in the post. Regardless, with hundreds opting to enter the transfer portal this offseason, the Cardinals coaches must find a way to manage playing time and develop talent that makes players want to stick around instead of pursuing opportunities elsewhere. After depth came at a premium last season. This is a good problem to have. Which veterans will embrace leadership roles? James is an obvious candidate to captain Louisville considering he rebounded from a torn Achilles tendon to start all 32 games last season and became one of the Cardinals' most consistent players. James said former backcourt mate L. Ellis taught him how to work and how to be professional. After Ellis transferred to Arkansas, the onus will be on him, Huntley Hatfield, Okorafor, and Trainer to make it clear from the jump that repeating last year's mistakes is not an option with both their words and work ethic. Next from the Courier Journal, Oklahoma 4, Stanford 2, Sooners reach finals, extend streak. Walking someone, anyone short of Jocelyn Ello or Babe Ruth, to get to OU slugger Tierre Jennings is almost unconscionable. But that's exactly what Stanford coach Jessica Allister did Monday. That's what the Sooners lineup does, forcing opponents into decisions that would normally be unthinkable. On her 21st birthday, Jennings struck big when it mattered most, delivering a two-out, two-run double in the ninth to lift OU to a 4-2 win over the Cardinal in the Women's College World Series at USA Softball Hall of Fame Stadium. The Sooners have won 51 consecutive games, extending their NCAA record and moving into the WCWS Championship Series against Florida State. The best of three series begins at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Next from the Louisville Courier-Journal, Florida State 5, Tennessee 1, Florida State tops Tennessee in semifinal. Florida State is back in a familiar position. Catherine Sandercock and McKenna Reed combined for 5 innings of scoreless relief to help number 3 seed Florida State defeat number 4 Tennessee 5-1 on Monday night and advance to the Women's College World Series Championship Series. Sandercock, the Seminoles' veteran ace, allowed one hit and struck out 4 in 3 innings to claim her 10th save of the year. Reed, a freshman, gave way to Sandercock after allowing one hit in 2 innings. She claimed the win to improve to 13-0 this season. This was more like it for Florida State. Last year, the Seminoles were the number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, but lost in regionals. Now, they are in the championship series for the 3rd time in the past 5 finals. Next from the Courier-Journal, a couple in-brief articles. Michael Vick, Larry Fitzgerald, and Terrell Suggs are among the college football stars who will be considered for induction into the Hall of Fame for the first time this year. The National Football Foundation released Monday a list of 78 players and 9 coaches from major college football who are on the Hall of Fame ballot. There are also 101 players and 32 coaches from lower divisions of college football up for consideration. Vick, who led Virginia Tech to the BCS championship game against Florida State as a redshirt freshman in 1999, is among the most notable players appearing on the ballot in his first year of eligibility. Fitzgerald was the Heisman runner-up in 2003 to Oklahoma quarterback Jason White. He scored 34 touchdowns in just 2 seasons at Pitt. Suggs led the nation in sacks with 24 in 2002 for Arizona State. The 2024 Hall of Fame class will be announced in January. Next, Victor Wembanyama's next couple of weeks are now set. He'll be playing in the French League Finals starting this weekend, and then the San Antonio Spurs will almost certainly make him the number one pick in the NBA draft on June 22nd. And if that means the French star's summer league debut comes in Sacramento instead of Las Vegas in early July, the league is fine with that. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said the league doesn't have a preference regarding the site of Wembanyama's first game with the Spurs. While the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas is the biggest, all 30 teams attend, and commands the most attention, there are smaller summer leagues that precede the Vegas event by a few days. Sacramento plays host to one of those events, and the Spurs are one of 6 teams headed there this year. If Wembanyama plays in Sacramento, he'd be the first number one pick that didn't debut in Las Vegas since Markelle Fultz for Philadelphia in 2017. The 76ers played in Utah's Summer League that year before going to Vegas. Next, Coco Gauff put aside a skin knee and a bad stretch in the first set to reach the French Open quarterfinals for the 3rd consecutive year with a 7-5-6-2 victory over Anna Karolina Shmidlova on Monday. Next for Gauff could be a rematch against number one Iga Swiatek, who beat the 19-year-old American in last year's final at Roland Garros. Swiatek was scheduled to face Lisha Cherenko in the 4th round later Monday. The other women's quarterfinal on the top half of the draw Wednesday will be number 7 Ons Jabeur of Tunisia versus number 14 Beatrice Haddad Maia of Brazil. This wraps it up for the sports news from the Lexington Herald Leader and the Louisville Courier Journal. For Tuesday, June 6, 2023, your reader for today has been Carrie Lawless. Thank you for listening, and now please stay tuned for continued programming on Radio Eye.